As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Penguins general manager Kyle Dubas spoke to the media this morning. We have a variety of clips and quotes. Why don't we get to them, Bob? But first, I have a big picture question for you. And it's Fenway Sports Group. This has not worked. This has been really bad. They came along at just the wrong time. And I just wonder, and I don't have any hard and fast information, I just wonder if Tom Werner and company regret buying the Penguins. They bought a declining asset. Some people think it's going to get better in a hurry. I don't. I really don't. I mean, Sidney Crosby at some point is going to be finished, and it's going to be sooner rather than later. Probably still measured in years. I get it. Kyle Dubas has squandered a chance to build around Sidney Crosby. He tried. He failed miserably. He's still trying to dig out of some of the worst moves in Penguins history that he made when he first started here. They put a minority stake up for sale. Sellout streak long gone. I can see days, you know, not too long into the future where there may be sell the team chants over there among 8,000 people sitting in the stands. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Kyle Dubas changes this in a hurry and they're contending. But Bob, I'm going to start right at the top. Fenway Sports Group. The most notable thing they've done since they got here was alienate Mario Lemieux. Do you think at some point soon they're going to want to get out of this?
I would not be surprised. You know, they have a lot of assets in sports, and it's a global company. So I think they looked at this as maybe still an opportunity to, and you're right, it was a diminishing situation here. I don't think there's any question about that. They had aging guys, but they doubled down. They came in and they decided it was going to remain the same, and you're not going to be able to move.
And that was their call. I agree with you there.
So if that's what you expected and you thought your GM be able to add some pieces, he added the wrong pieces at the time, it looks like. And so that's why they are 3 years now without a playoff opportunity. And I think if this continues, and they better change it. They got money to spend, but they're going to have to come up with different, especially defensively. I think, Joe, their defense largely, and you can hold Mike Sullivan responsible to it, but you know, they're just allowing too many odd man breaks, too many breakdowns, too many things that you shouldn't be doing. They're offensive-minded players, fine, but you have to understand your defensive responsibilities even in that role as an offensive, an offensive defenseman. They don't. They're still doing some of the stuff you thought they would stop doing, 3 years ago, and hasn't stopped.
Yeah, the message isn't getting through, and that's the next thing, is Sully. and Sully's future. I don't know if you have a clip on that or if you want Bob to read the quote from Dubas on Sully Limits. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, I could read it. This is actually from Jason Mackey. He wrote it out.
Let's hear it.
And so this is about Sullivan, and there's the report out there that the New York Rangers, who fired Peter Laviolette, may be interested if he's available. That's a big if because he's under contract. But this is the quote. Quote, I haven't had any postseason meetings with Sully just because the way the season ended and it being a holiday, so I'll meet with Sully tomorrow. Sully is under contract. I think he was very clear with his intentions last week and was expressed in our conversations. I'll meet with Mike tomorrow and we'll sort through everything. I think with a coach like Sully, he's an elite level coach and he's shown through his time here as well as for Team USA. There's always a point that very few coaches who are in the realm often want to see a team through this. And this, I mean, rebuilding. But he's been very open that this is what he wants to do. So we'll just continue to reaffirm that. And as long as he's on that side of it, we will roll with that.
Didn't Team USA lose, or did I get that one wrong,
they did.
Bob? Mike Sullivan's a good hockey coach. Mike Tomlin's a good football coach. It becomes a question of whether they're still the right person here. And I think in both cases, the answer is pretty definitively no. It'd be pretty unusual for somebody to arrive in a place as a coach, have great success, and then go endless years with no success and then suddenly recapture it. I don't know a ton of stories like that in sports history. Sullivan's message is lost. Everything he says and preaches, they don't do, whether it's puck. And it doesn't take talent to do the stuff he preaches, by the way. Whether it's puck management, whether it's simply a defensive brand of hockey, an intelligent defensive brand of hockey. He wants them to be hard to play against. They're unbelievably easy to play against. I call them Team Polite. They still don't protect Sid after all these years. They don't protect their goalie after all these years. They play horrendously irresponsible hockey in front of their goalie. After all these years, they were maybe the worst or one of the three worst defensive teams in all of hockey. So what are we doing here? For the sake of both, and this would remind me of when Chicago called about trading for Tomlin, that was an incredible opportunity that Art Rooney let slip without even asking what the Bears wanted or what they were giving up for Tomlin. Like, what was he worth? This is an opportunity for the Penguins to move on. And for Mike Sullivan to move on. This was an amazing run. It was great. It's not working anymore and hasn't for a long time. For the sake of him and for the sake of them, a divorce is the right move here. Do you agree?
I think with any coach who's been here long, you know, you get that same question. Has the message sunk in? And I think it's true with all coaches that sooner or later there is an expiration date. In this case, though, because he is under contract, I wonder what it would take. Let's say the Rangers are serious and decide they want to ask Kyle Dubas. I wonder what that would be like because he'd have to ask Mike Sullivan. If Sullivan really wants to be part of this, that's fine. They won't mess with him based on that comment I just read for you. But if he's interested, at least in a little bit, about hearing what they have to offer and what their team looks like and what they're, you know, I imagine they would have those kinds of conversations.
And I don't know about, I thought last year we looked into this idea of coaches being traded in the NHL, and I thought we came to the realization that it was prohibited, unlike in the NFL where you're allowed to trade for coaches. Do we know that for a fact, Limits?
How would you do that then? If he's under contract, you just let him go and that's it?
I don't know the mechanics of it, but the fact that like notable hockey people are talking about, there has to be some mechanism by which he could leave, just resign, right?
And I guess he could do that if that's the case.
Something would happen there where you'd make it possible.
You're right. Your point is well taken. How long is the expected life expectancy with these guys in any sport?
Yeah.
Most of it is like players. It's only, you know, a 4 or 5 year window. If that, lots of guys don't last beyond 1 year.
It's okay. It really is. It's all okay. Everybody's going to be okay. Football teams have moved on from Andy Reid and Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll. And, you know, Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, moved on from him. It's all good. You know, it can happen. I mean, how long are the Steelers going to do this? and I'm talking Steelers now, is it a decade without being competitive in a single playoff game? A full decade without even being competitive in one playoff game? Would that prompt Art to move on? Because 8 years like that hasn't prompted him. I'm just baffled. And the Sully thing is the same. I mean, we're going on three straight non-playoff years where the team's designed to win, no matter what any of the Dubas backers tell you. That this year, and inarguably last year, the team was designed to win. And more to the point, Bob, and some of these quotes coming out now, we have cap space, we have, you know, all these assets. We want to contend basically right away again and give our core a chance to win. Okay, can somebody explain to me why you traded Jake Guentzel then? If the idea
even
pretty
Marcus
much...
Marcus Pettersson, he was your best defensive, and that's the problem on defense. They can't stop. He's a stay-at-home kind of guy who does a good job.
If the idea is to win, you had one of the, probably, and he's even better now than I think he was with the Penguins, one of the most dangerous offensive players in the world on your team that you could have signed who wanted to stay here. So now you have all this money. You couldn't have paid Guentzel and still had some money. You couldn't, like if the idea is to win and build around Sid, why didn't you keep his favorite guy?
Yeah, that's a good question. At the time, it was money related, clearly. But $9 million a year, as the market will move on and get more money available to teams, you'll see guys get $12, $15 million a year. That's, you know, there are some guys who already get that. Leon Draisaitl just got that. You could argue that Jake Guentzel is certainly worth in that neighborhood based on the number
I think,
puts
up. And I think they would have gotten a much better deal. I'm baffled on the plan here. I can promise you the plan wasn't to sink to the bottom of the league this year. Okay, good for the Penguins that they went in an anti-Steeler direction, started to sink real low. They didn't do it intentionally, so nobody gets credit for it.
The other thing that he brought up was the goaltending situation, and Jason also pointed this out. He said Dubas also said he expects Jari and Nedeljkovic to be on the roster this coming season. He painted the picture of a real competition between those two. But the whole point with Tristan Jari now is he's come back from another, you know, midseason slump. They demoted him down. He came back. He's played well. The contract that he has, Joe, is not outrageous for a top-line goaltender. If you're going to get a guy who's your number one goalie and pay him 5.3, whatever he's making, that is not over the top. But he has to prove that he can be that.
Wait,
the question is, did he prove it? The question is, should he be here next year when you have guys in your minors?
No, you should get rid of the money. And what about Nedeljkovic? I understand he's a good guy. So read that quote again.
It's not a quote. It says, Dubas also said that he expects Jari and Ned to be on the roster this fall. So, paints the picture of a real competition.
To see which one is worse?
I don't know.
If I'm a Penguin fan, I'm supposed to be excited about Nedeljkovic and Jari, two horrible goalies on your roster? What?
This is what Kyle Dubas had to say about the goalies.
As of this moment, they're both under contract, and I fully expect that, yes.
Just what do you make of, I guess, the struggles that group at the NHL level at least had this year? Obviously, as you mentioned, the defense could have been a little stiffer this year, but just what do you make of how that group performed this year and what maybe needs to be better there in that area?
Well, I think just flat out the performance needs to be better. You've touched on a point, which is, you know, if you look at every metric of measuring performance, we also conceded a lot defensively in terms of what was expected to be given up, but we also allowed more than expected. So that's a really a poor combination, and I think both need to be rectified. And, you know, there was stretches. I think I was especially proud of how Tristan handled the end of the year. Ned as well. Like, Ned didn't play a whole lot down the stretch. In the three games he played, he gave us a chance in all three, won two of them. And Tristan, it was, you know, it's not easy to go through what he went through. And I was the one delivering those messages to him, right? So, you know, for him to come in at the end, you know, I thought he played well. Now he needs to stack it because there's going to be a different pressure at the beginning of the year again that I think you all know. Can he take what he's done here and then continue to stack that going into next year and double that pressure with the fact that there's two young guys that are going to be pushing, and that was a message given to Tristan and Ned as well. So this isn't going to come as any surprise. Like, those guys are going to be, you know, they're going to be given every opportunity to win jobs as well.
Tristan Jari's a heartbreaker. So when he plays well, as he did down the stretch this season, if you're smart, you don't believe it. And you especially don't believe it'll translate to the biggest games of the season. He turns 30 in a week. If you come back with him and Ned as your goalies and your intent is to win next year, you're out of your mind.
I agree with that. I think they need a shakeup there. But I also think that correspondingly, you know, it has to be better defense in front of them. I think there are too many of these kinds of things that put goaltenders in tough situations. So, but yeah, I think you've seen what you've seen. You know what you have. I would try to move him. Somebody might be willing to take him if you, you know, make an interesting package beyond Jari and take some of the money too. You're going to have to give up some of the money. You're going to have to pay some of the money, but who cares if you can save some and move on? That's if they believe one of those young goalies can be the person who can step in.
Or bring in a journeyman as a bridge. I mean, I'm still of the mind, and this is clearly not what's happening, that the Penguins should have torn it to the studs and they'd be in, what, year two or year three of that process. Instead, they claim they're still trying to win around Sid. I'm just, like I said, I'm thoroughly confused.
We've had this conversation before, but do you think at all it changes now and they go to either Malkin or Letang and say, hey, you know, this is not going to be what you want to hear, but would you be willing to be moved to drop your
no
trade?
But I don't know if that's going to happen, but our fear or a realistic projection was when Letang and Gino signed those extensions was, man, by the end of that, this could not be good. And I think this season showed they both struggled mightily. Now, Gino was better than he was last year. I see people make the argument, well, he's still very legit, especially for the price. Second line center, maybe. We'll see how it goes next year as he's pushing. How old is he, Bob? 37? 38?
Maybe a little older, right?
I'm not sure about this Jari narrative either, that he rebounded in some amazing fashion and is now your goalie of the near future again? What? In an .898 save percentage in April in five games. He was good in some, horrific in others that he got ripped out of. He had a .907 save percentage in March. I'm a little bit flummoxed here. I really am, Bob. I'm ready to go with young guys, surround Sid with young guys, have a fun, energetic young team that's going to get better. And my fear is that they're going to throw a bunch of money at people like Dubas did his first year. Why should we trust him to throw it at the right people? He's the same guy that threw $54 million at Graves and Jari. And that these draft picks aren't going to come to fruition, if they ever are, for 3, 4, 5 years.
Well, the one thing we have seen, which is Koivunen looks like he's ready to play up here, and so does McGrory. So those are two younger guys that should occupy big roles.
Sure.
And they need to find more in their system who can do that. And I'm glad at least they gave those guys a chance at the end of the year to show a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
I would have liked to have seen more if there are guys down there. I don't know who would fit that classification, but, man, they need to find internal help so that it's not always going to be just going out and getting a bunch of veteran free agents.
Well, that's the other thing that happens around here, is that every time the Penguins look like they have a young guy who can play, who comes up, it's celebrated like Mardi Gras. Every organization in the league has young guys who can play, has prospects in their pipeline, and most of them have better young guys than the Penguins and more prospects in their pipeline. That it's the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to have young guys come up every year who are good,
right?
But there's been such a scarcity of that around here that when one guy comes up and looks like he might be a good player, there's, you know, not enough praise to go to the GM. It's the way it's supposed to work, you know.
Yeah, and ride them. I think in the past what we've seen is they would bring up a couple of guys and they'd have one or two games, 6 minutes, and it would be sent right back down. At some point, you have to let them play a little bit too, just see what you got, especially early in a hockey season. I've always believed that. And get a judgment. So it's not just on what you see down at Wilkes-Barre Scranton. It's got to be more on this level.
Do we have Dubas on Carlson, or should I repeat that quote? Limits.
I have it. This is what Kyle Dubas had to say earlier today about the aging defenseman that has not been playing well.
Eric, I think, is and will forever be a polarizing figure. I don't know his exact comments that he made. My view would be that we expect him to be one of the people that pulls us from where we're at and into contention. And so I would, you know, and I had a long meeting with Eric on Friday. My push to him would be that his actions have to match his ambitions. That's in consistency, preparation, training, like every other player on the team. And I think he showed throughout the year that he has another level to him. Times playing for us, certainly playing for Sweden at the Four Nations face-off. He was a player that you would watch and say, this guy can help any team not only contend but probably win. But it's emblematic of the rest of the group as well. There was moments of great play with too many inconsistent, and we have to push him to get there. That's the expectation that's dictated by his talent level and impact he can make, and it's a joint venture. So, yes, part of it is on the team, part of it is on Eric, and we have to find our way through.
And his more pointed quote on Carlson was, his actions have to match his ambitions. What little I know of Carlson from people who are around the team and in that room, man, I'm trying to imagine. I would love to have been a fly on the wall when Kyle Dubas was telling him all these things about his consistency, preparation, training, et cetera, Bob. I'd love to have seen that meeting. And he starts out by saying that Carlson is and forever will be a polarizing figure. Does he expect this to change? Erik Karlsson has a whole career of evidence and 160 games with the Penguins that tells us he's going to get a lot of scoring chances for both teams in most games.
Yeah, and I think it's the reason why he hasn't played for any high-stakes games, you know, in Stanley Cups. You know, he, as good as he is and as talented as he is, I think that's a pretty interesting comment for the GM to make about matching your off-season workouts and your preparation, all that kind of stuff. For a guy who's been around as long as he has, you would think that would be, especially watching Crosby every single day. Like I said, he's on the ice even today working with guys. So, but it sounds to me like he's accusing him of sort of just gliding through and just, you know, accumulating points. And that seems to be his interest.
But we had a long conversation. So Erik Karlsson, who turns 35 next month, based on a conversation with Kyle Dubas, is going to transform what he's been for all these years?
No, I don't think he can do that.
Come on.
They knew what they were getting.
Hopefully they traded.
They were hoping that that point production would be good and he would not be as bad as maybe people have seen him over the years defensively in that part of the ice. So,
one of the big problems, Bob, is that he was overrated on the power play. And the truth is he's never been that great of a power play guy. And I just saw a number, and now I can't remember where. Maybe it was from Matt Wenzel, where Grayslick was better than Letang or Carlson running the power play.
Yeah, he actually should have had more time out there. I think Matt Grizzlick's a very good player on the power play. He's shown that. So that was actually a good move by Dubas. I like that one, as it turned out. Mm. But you don't like it?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I liked it. I thought he had a prominent role here, and I don't think he disappointed, at least not me.
He was okay the second half. I don't know that I'd be willing to invest any more in him because there were times when he was very not okay. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, but I would say that about everyone on this team, with the exception maybe of Crosby, but they've all had those moments.